The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter. To explain the salvation of God to the religious leader Nicodemus, Jesus refers to the scripture passage quoted in today's first reading. Just as those who looked upon the bronze serpent were healed, so people will be saved when they behold Christ lifted up on the cross. I begin reading at verse 14. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our scripture readings for today, they all tie together in a very similar fashion to a certain extent. They say much the same thing, but only in different ways. And even the psalm kind of ties in then too. I think it kind of makes a reference to some of the things that we're going in the first lesson. So today we're going to look at these scripture readings that we had and see what God is trying to say to us through his holy word. First of all, in these readings, what happens is that people rebel. They're rebellious against God. They reject God to a certain extent. In the first lesson, in our Old Testament lesson, it takes place during that time where the Israelite people were traveling from Egypt to the Holy Land. They forgot what God had done for them. Or they had already forgotten what God had done for them, that God had pulled them out of Egypt with mighty works and mighty signs. He let them pass through the Red Sea, passing on dry land. He destroyed Pharaoh's army, and they were on their way to the Promised Land. He had given them the Ten Commandments, the way that they should live and how they should live with each other and live with God. And now they're on their way to the Promised Land, to that land of hope, to that land of promise. But they forget God. They reject God. And they start to grumble and complain. I'm hot. I'm tired. My feet hurt. This food's no good. I'm thirsty. Are we there yet? They continue to grumble and complain. They've forgotten who they are, and they've forgotten about God. Okay? In our second lesson for today, it says, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world. Again, too, we forget who God is. We grumble. We complain. We're fascinated with the things of this world. We think we need more. We forget who God is, and we forget who we are. Verse 3 here, too, in Ephesians. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. You know, it always goes back to that first sin, for that first rejection of God, going back to that Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve were told, you can have anything you want here, except one thing. You can't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat of that tree, you will die. Well, what's Adam and Eve do? They say, God, I know more than you do. I'm not going to die. They believe that serpent. And they ate the fruit. They rejected God. They rejected God's plan for their life. They rejected the goodness that God had to offer. They forgot who had created them. And they went after their own selves, their own desires, their own passions. And I think that's what leads us astray too many times too. We think, God, I know what's best for my life. You don't have to tell me what to do. Or I don't want to do what you tell me to do. We make ourselves our own gods. Or here in the gospel lesson then too. Verse 18. But those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. People have rejected God. Honestly, I don't think there's very many true atheists in this world. I don't think atheists are our biggest problems. Atheists are those who say, I do not believe that there is any God, that what you just see right here and now, what we have is it. That's all. There are some, and they are very vocal about their beliefs, or what they believe, or what they, their non-beliefs, I guess I should say. And they are vocal, trying to extract anything religious from any public arena. But if you think about it, they do have a God. Their God is themselves, or their God is their mission of extracting anything religious out of public perspective. I think the largest problem, though, is apathy. That's the one that gets most people. People believe, and polls have proved this, people believe there is a God. Most people believe there is a God. But what that God is, they have no idea. Oh, God's out there somewhere, you know. Or they give no thought to God. They have no intention of finding out who God is or what God wants them to do. Or maybe they were raised in a religious setting and they just simply have passed that away, you know, that's gone by. That was for kids. So I'm an adult now. I can make my own decisions. I don't need that God out there somewhere. Or maybe I'll call on him when I get into trouble. But as far as maturing in faith, there is none of that. As far as prayer life, there is no prayer life. God's out there somewhere, but not very personal for me. Apathy. That's what gets a hold of us. And because of that, then, we lose our faith. We no longer believe. There is no faith. Okay. First thing that happens here in these lessons is that rebellion against God. The next thing that happens is the results of that rebellion. There in the Old Testament lesson, the people rebelled against God, complaining, I'm hot, I'm tired, I want to go home. The results of that was God gets disgusted with the people and he sends snakes into the wilderness, and the snakes bite many of the Israelites, and when they get bitten, they die. That's the results of rejection of God. We die. That's all there is to it. God is life. If we reject God, if we rebel against God, what's left is death. And that's what happens in our Old Testament lesson for today. Also, too, here in the second lesson, it says, again in verse 3, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. We are children of wrath. And we know the bad things that happen in this world because of that rejection of sin. There's murder, there's hatred, there's gossip. I mean, every single commandment is broken because we have rejected God. And because of that, our world is broken. Our society is broken. We have rejected God. We've chosen death instead. And all of these things that happen, this life of wrath, is a result of rejection of God. Or also, too, again, it says, those who do not believe are condemned already. Without God, there is no life. We are condemned. There is death only. And we simply die. That's the results of our rejection of God. Okay, so we rebel against God, and there are results from that rejection. However, then, the next thing happens. God intervenes. So what happens here in the Old Testament lesson then? The people are grumbling, they're complaining. God sends snakes, bites the Israelites, they start to die. And then all of a sudden they remember, oh yeah, we have a God. We remember now what God has done. We remember that God brought us out of Egypt and we crossed the Red Sea and God destroyed Pharaoh's army and we're going to the Promised Land. God, please forgive us. We forgot. They repent. They change their minds. And they recognize once again that God is there. And what happens is that God intervenes. And he says to Moses, okay, Moses, it's time to fix this. Get a bronze pole and fashion a snake around that pole. And when people look at it, they will live. Just as a side note, many of you probably have seen a picture of this. It has become the symbol of the medical profession. And so you may see it on some of their stationery. You may see it in on hospitals or different places than to doctor's offices. That has become the symbol because it is a symbol of healing. It is a symbol of God's intervention into our lives because we can't fix ourselves. God has to fix us. Or here in the second lesson, it says in verse 5, even when we were dead through our trespasses, the results of what was going on with our sin, we were made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Christ has intervened for us. And that's the beauty of what God has done for us. Or it goes right along then too with what the gospel lesson says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. God intervened. God sent his son into this world. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time, is God coming into this world. And right now we're in the middle of Lent, and we are concentrating then on that act of salvation, of Christ going to the cross for us. Remember, because of our sin, because of our rebellion, we are dead. We are dead. There's no hope for us. But God intervenes. God comes back and he gives us the promise of life. That we will live. That death is not going to be the end of us. Christ takes our punishment. He takes the results from our sin. He takes it on himself. And he dies so that we may live. God intervenes for us. Okay. So, first we rebel, we see the results of that rebellion, God intervenes, and now we see the results of that intervention. In the Old Testament lesson, the results of God's intervention, of having Moses build that pole with the snake on it, is that the Israelites look upon that pole and they live. They do have life. Here in the second lesson, again it says, by grace you have been saved. And raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus. There's our promise right there. That we are lifted up, that we are raised up, that we have been saved by grace. And we're lifted up and we are raised up to be with God, to live with God forever. And again, verse 16 in John's Gospel here in chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Also, too, the rest of that Gospel reading for today goes on, and it talks about the light, of coming into that light, that we don't have anything to hide anymore. We've been made clean since Christ intervened for us. We have been made right with God. And we don't want to hide that. We want that to shine. We want that light of Christ to shine. We rebel against God. We see the results of that rebellion is death. But God intervenes for us, giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. And we have that promise of new life. Let us live in that light of Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.